All right, welcome back and a good morning. Omar Kelly from the Miami Herald joins us this morning. I got to tell you, Omar, as we bring you on here, it's like part cartoon character, and it's definitely you. It's a nice, clean look on the front of the sports page. Not the dolphin or football part, on the whole thing. In depth with the Dolphins with you. And you haven't seen it. So I was going to tell you, how do you like it? But you haven't seen it yet?
I just saw it now. You made me look it up. It is not ideal for me. I keep telling them to make that a player. It was a player last week. I don't know how it reverted back to my face. But yeah, it was Tua like last week.
They're trying to promote you, Omar.
Hey, they're promoting you
to
let the ego go a little bit, yeah. Omar. It's fine.
It's humble, Omar. We don't like the humble.
No,
Omar.
I don't like that one either, Omar.
All right.
Hey. Man, now all of a sudden, Omar, you're killing me. Hey, so a lot of stuff to get to. As I told you last night, last 48 hours, the secondary looks a whole lot different. Let's start. I'm guessing we'll find out about Cater today and how serious the injury is.
Yeah, we will. My hope is that it's not something that's going to keep him out for months, if not all season. Maybe this is probably he needs to be shut down for a week or two. That's just my hope. But, you know, you never know. I'm amazed to see how many football players have suffered season-ending injuries in week one. That includes Artie Burns. This sport is just crazy. You just don't see that in NBA first week of training camp for NBA. 10 guys are out with season-ending injuries.
And it seems to find the position that you're just vulnerable at. I mean, Artie Burns was, you know, does he make the team or not? But it's certainly veteran fourth, fifth, sixth cornerback.
He was the most veteran presence on the team and a backup nickel. And when Cater went down, they immediately, instantly had no nickels, had no experienced nickels. Minka had to go in there. Iffy Melifonwu, he's an experienced nickel, and he's on PUP. So I don't think the practice ended before, because Drew Rosenhaus was out there. He was sitting a couple rows from us, and then he disappeared. And I don't think the practice ended before they got a deal done with Mike Hilton.
You just figured it was like, hey, Mike, I just got you a little bit more money. You want to go ahead and plan on coming out here? We got it done. Yeah, it was a crazy one. So as you look at it, we'll start with the Minka Fitzpatrick. You called this when he got here, rework contract. Were you surprised the way that I thought Dolphins did a good job on it? What'd you think?
I don't think anybody did a bad job on it. The way that I process it is it's a flipping around of the contract. In the year where his contract ballooned to 17 and change, they put to the front end, and then they put the manageable year to the back end. So they basically gave him a $2 million raise and then gave him his whole salary in a signing bonus. I pretty much figured they were going to do that anyway because they're so tight on the cap space. But I'm surprised because this is usually about not having guaranteed money. And Minka still doesn't have any guaranteed money. Now, clearly, the way that they just structured the contract, and that makes it ridiculously impossible to think they're going to cut him next year because they basically just made it a ridiculous cap hit. But I don't know if anybody won in that situation. Clearly, the Dolphins got cap space, which is something that they needed. But let's not act like you lowered Minka's price because you raised Minka's price.
Well, but they same dollars, same term, same number of years, you get them in camp, and you get $11 million, which, as you said, you move it to a signing bonus, and yeah, now you have money.
Zach Seeler money.
Now the question is, is that money to pay Zach Seeler?
I think paying Zach Seeler is the right thing to do, but then again, I don't know if the organization has always done the right thing. I don't know exactly what Zach is asking for. If I'm Zach, I'm asking for exactly what Minka got. You give me $30 million in guaranteed money, $31 million in guaranteed money, we got a deal.
Wow.
I don't really care what the terms are. You know, for Zach, that's, you know, he's already walking away with pretty much I think he's got $28 million in career earnings. You give me another 30 for the next 2 years, you know. And I, the thing about Zach is, and I don't know if everybody in the public gets it, but you want to talk about the culture change. You want to talk about doing things right. You want to talk about setting a standard. Well, Zach sets that standard. So if you don't reward the guy who sets a standard, why should anybody be focused on setting the standard? Why should they care? So don't be a hypocrite and take care of your best player.
Well, yeah. And they can't let him get to free agency next year, can they? I mean, that's...
No. He's locked up for 2 more years.
Yeah, he's
right.
Oh, yeah,
2 more years.
Up.
Right, right.
And he's so important because these young guys, I mean, besides the fact how good he is personally, but he is so good watching him work with the rest of the guys on that defense. Benito Jones, like, follows him around as well. I just think he's really important to the growth of that whole group and that position.
I think this year he learned so much. Last year he learned so much from Calais Campbell, and Zach has talked about that. Calais taught him pretty much how to be a leader. You know, Zach has always been a leader by example and a leader from a quiet standpoint. Now him and Tua are being way more vocal than they have in the past, and pretty much drawing a line in the sand, setting the terms for the team. And it's interesting to see.
Hey, real quickly, all these changes, Mike Hilton and Jack Jones and and now Minkah, of course, at the safety.
Cornell Armstrong. Don't forget the return of Cornell Armstrong.
Yeah, okay, coming back. You're right. Storm Duck has looked really good, too. He's had his moments.
So, I don't know about really good, but he's been most consistent.
How many of those positions are solid? And what's still open for these young guys?
Clearly, I think Jack Johnson, probably from a talent standpoint, might be the most talented guy. When he signed, I got about probably 10 texts about people who were saying, yeah, this kid's got talent, but you got to watch him. You got to babysit him. You know, and people were like, yeah, okay, take care of him. He's got a little bit of baggage. And the personality is a little complicated. Hopefully, he'll realize, hey, the NFL had me shut out, had me locked out for pretty much all of the offseason program. I got to come here. I don't know what he signed for, but I doubt it's probably more than $2-3 million. He has talent. I saw it on the first day. He's got quick instincts. I looked at his film. He's a good zone cornerback. He jumps screens like crazy, which has led to, I think it was 4 touchdowns in his career. Now, will he buy into what's going on here, and will South Florida be a toxic place for him? We'll see. Mike Hilton is a physical, smallish, but physical slot cornerback. I mean, nickel cornerback, that's what they need. Cornell Armstrong is a special teams guy. He started training in the slot, in the nickel the last 2 years. I watched him do it when Cater went down. So that's a step in the right direction. Now, the question I have on all of these guys, Joe, if every NFL team, 32, has 9 cornerbacks on their 53, on their training camp roster, why were these guys unemployed?
Yeah. Hey, listen, you're right. No, that is fair, and you got them. You're getting them all on the cheap. I got you. Whether it's a downside of your career, coming off injury, loose cannon, hard to coach, whatever the knock on you is.
Knucklehead. Personality problems. We medical history. He got a knee that's going to cave in at any moment. You know, the NFL knows.
And your talent isn't worth the questions to this point. So the question is, does any of these guys step up and have a good camp and help solve a desperate issue for the Dolphins right now?
Yeah, at this point, I would be hard to say any of them is anything better than Eli Apple. But then again, when I watch Cam Smith, and right now he's probably one of the most disappointing guys I've seen in training camp so far. When I watch Cam Smith, I'm getting to the point where the hope is gone. So it's time that you figure out another plan.
You know, it is interesting to see what's going to happen. I got to ask you about Jason Marshall while we're at this position. Had a nice play the other day in practice.
Yes, he did.
What are your thoughts? He's a rookie. I'm guessing he's going to be on the 53 unless he's like for some reason. Yeah, I don't expect him to be on.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. He should be on the 53. Big guy. Shows he's got good instinct. I wouldn't exactly put him against the speedsters, but he looks like he can get the job done. I think, to me, it's going to come down to how much can he master the playbook and understand the concepts and things of that nature. That's really what sets Storm Duck apart from everybody else. It's not that Storm is just killing it out there or Kendall Sherfield. Neither one of them are killing it out there. They just know their assignments. They know their responsibilities, and they're the most reliable guys. But clearly what you're looking for is playmakers. And we saw Jason Marshall make a play, so that's a step in the right direction. Minka was actually a nickel when he hawked down that interception in the middle of the field on a pass.
That was one more play than we saw a year ago. From that safety position,
you know, and I will say this: I was thinking
a hell of
about
a play.
Yeah, I was thinking about that play, and that was one hell of a play. And it kind of silenced all my questions and concerns about, because people in Pittsburgh will tell you, oh, he's lost his speed. He can't play like he used to. And that was one hell of a play.
They have been really negative. It's funny, the Pittsburgh thing. I did some Pittsburgh radio, and it's been. Yeah, it's like, wow. And he'll see. He's going to have a chance to prove it and get his numbers back up. Hey, I got to ask you real quickly. Tua doubled down, went on with Bucky and Cam Wolf, was fantastic on there.
Absolutely.
I thought all that stuff was great. I went back and listened to it when I got home. What did you think about his comments? Leadership to I need to – we're better when I play. What did you think?
Tua knows exactly what he needs to do. He needs to stay healthy. He needs to live for another day on every single play. And he said it, and I've said it. If Tua plays 17 games, the Dolphins win 10.7 games. That's just statistically how it stacks up. People will say, oh, they don't beat anybody. But 10.7 games is 10.7 games. That's what he averages throughout his career. That's his winning percentage. So he knows he has to stay healthy. I think he's in a groove right now in terms of his understanding and mastery of the offense. He's developed more of a relationship with Jalen Waddle based on, you know, having to practice without Tyreek Hill. I would say to Dolphin fans, Waddle is way more involved than he used to be. And that's a good thing. It's not so Tyreek-centric heavy. Now, the question is, can Tua take his game to another level? He is trying and working to do that as a leader. And I see the effort. He's calling people out. He is the only person in that organization that calls Tyreek out. I think Tyreek will allow it. And, it's a step in the right direction for him.
How's Tyreek? How's he going to handle that? That's what I get. Everybody's kind of going, you know, Tyreek kind of said all the right things, and he's taking it right now. How long will he take that before he finally goes Tyreek on someone?
Can you bite the hand that feeds you is the question.
Yeah.
And Tyreek is smart enough to know that he's in a contract year. There's absolutely no possible way that the Dolphins are going to pay Tyreek $40 million next year, even if he delivers 1,700 yards. So he's fighting for his NFL future. So he knows he needs Tua more than Tua needs him. And Tyreek is on a mission to prove to everybody that, hey, I'm supposedly not this knucklehead. I'm not washed up. I'm still fast. And we still have to see it, because I can honestly tell you, I haven't seen the Tyreek Hill I'm used to. The Tyreek Hill I'm used to in training camp has not shown up to training camp yet.
I saw that track stuff. I saw when he ran 10-100 meter.
You don't need to see it the first week of training camp.
But he has done it, Dave. He's blown by
his camp.
He's had some of the greatest camps we've ever seen.
Well, his first practice as a Dolphin, I remember walking down the steps with Rick Spielman, and I said, what do you think of the practice? And he goes, Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah,
it's
so pretty good.
What about the offensive line, Omar? We've already gone through the cornerback situation. The other question is the old standby.
I am for those who know me, they know I'm obsessed with the offensive line. My O-line IBS has not gone away. I know there are no pads yet. Pads come on Tuesday, and my hope is that the performance in pads will start to alleviate some of my concern. Now, Aaron Brewer is not out there yet. That's their starting center and probably arguably their best offensive lineman. He's not out there yet. But my biggest concern is there are no backups on this team.
Yes.
And we know we go 6, 7, 8 deep on offensive linemen backups starting in this offense.
Is Brunskill an update or no?
I haven't seen enough of him to be able to tell. But just like Jack Johnson, why was he unemployed, Joe?
Well, that's it. They're bringing in guys smartly because they have, but they see something. Oh, we don't like what we're seeing.
They brought in two this week. I wouldn't be surprised if they bring in two next week. This is not good. It's not. And if it's the biggest area that you had of area of concern and the biggest area that you had to improve on from last year in order to make your team good, I was watching Russell Wilson talk about his performance in training camp, and he said it all starts with the offensive line. I remember I watched Tom Brady in one of his podcasts that he gets $30-something million to do. He was talking about how it all starts with the offensive line, and he used to be able to understand how good of a team their opponents were based on how Bill Belichick talked about their offensive line. And I am so damn sick and tired of not being able to tell Dolphin fans you're okay on the offensive line. It is not good. For everybody who's obsessed about the cornerbacks, trust me, they'll be all right. This offensive line, I don't feel that. That's your number one concern moving forward.
Wow. All right. Omar.
Omar loves him some offensive line.
No, he does.
I remember working around him at the sign. He'd always turn the conversation to the offensive line.
We've given him a lot to talk about through the years. That's why he's had plenty. Hey, Omar, thank you. Appreciate it, man.
All right, guys.
Omar Kelly joining us this morning.